Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Okay, time to take a look at what's coming up on our screens, big and small. And today we're joined by Zara Hederman, freelance music journalist, and Rory Cashin, entertainment editor for Joe.ie. Good afternoon, guys.
Yeah.
Okay, so listen, the Banshees of Inisherin, rave reviews, awards, everything. You've both seen it. What's the verdict, Zara?
I really liked this, and I hadn't actually seen a Martin McDonagh production since In Bruges, which of course is the last time Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson were together. I didn't go into this seeing any trailers really, so I went in completely fresh, and I really liked the very vast rural setting of it. It really reminded me a lot of the writing of, say, J.M. Singh, Enda Walsh a bit as well, and John B. Keane. And I thought that the performances by Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson in this are brilliant. Colin Farrell is a very sympathetic character who's just lost his best friend, or Brendan Gleeson just won't be his best friend because he's too dull. So I found this a really nice watch. Scenically, it's absolutely beautiful. Kerry Condon as well in this is excellent. Definitely, I'd say an Oscar will be going her way for this. But yeah, really enjoyed this. Would highly recommend.
Rory?
Yeah, I think it's one of the best films I've seen all year. I think
really,
absolutely tremendous. It's don't go in expecting In Bruges 2 because the tone is completely different. It's just as likely to make you cry as it is to make you laugh, especially in the second half.
Okay.
Barry Keoghan's in it as well, and I think he can now claim ownership to potentially the saddest single line of dialogue I've heard in a film maybe ever. And when you go see it, you'll know exactly.
You know, you don't want to.
I don't want to spoil it for anyone.
Okay.
You'll know exactly what it is when you hear it. You'll be like, oh God.
Okay, great. Zara, mm-hmm. The Watcher has been number one all week on Netflix in Ireland. I've watched two or three of them,
yeah.
But I've just read today somewhere that people are giving out about the ending of it.
Yeah, Rory and I were just talking about that outside. So it's based on a true story which took place in 2014. Ryan Murphy, who of course has done Jeffrey Dahmer most recently, American Horror Story, he has adapted this. And it's from a feature by The Cut that was written by Reeves Weedman. And I can see why people would be disappointed, because across the 7 episodes, which has Naomi Watts and Bobby Cannavale as the central couple, the Brannocks, who
move. Both great, really watchable.
Fantastic.
And dressed incredibly.
It's like they're in a Nancy Myers film or something like that. Yeah, no, it's brilliant. But I hadn't heard this story before, and I do recommend anyone who does want to watch this, don't read anything beforehand.
Okay.
But yeah, so it's basically they move into this house, 657 Boulevard, which is in New Jersey, which was at the time ranked as the 30th safest neighborhood in America. And it's in the suburbs. And of course, as anyone who's seen a horror film knows, suburbs, perfect for horror and psychological thriller. The ending, it is slightly disappointing because you do get very invested in this story. I don't want to spoil why it's disappointing at all, but you do become very invested. You almost become a bit of a private investigator yourself, trying to get to the bottom of this. So, but I did really enjoy it. I thought
okay,
it was really good.
So it's
good.
Still worth it even for the
absolutely,
disappointing ending.
Yeah.
Okay. That's The Watcher on Netflix. Rory, there's a new DC film in the cinemas, Black Adam. It's getting kind of mixed enough reviews.
Yeah, I think if you go in expecting any kind of IQ or emotional resonance, you will be disappointed. But if you go in expecting Dwayne The Rock Johnson to look cool while stuff explodes behind him, then you're at the level. You know, that's exactly what to expect
from
this
movie.
There's time for that. Of course there is. Everyone at every point in their week will need a solid 2 hours where they turn their brain off and just watch attractive people surrounded by explosions do quippy dialogue. And that's exactly what this is. It is an introduction of a new superhero to the DC universe, which has had some tricky missteps recently. But I think they're trying now to kind of realign themselves because Dwayne Johnson is just a magnet of charisma. You can't help but like
him. And
he's
about the most bankable star in the world at this
stage. At the moment,
I think so.
Yeah. He also exec produces this. So this will be kind of realigning him with Superman, with whoever they choose to be, another different Batman. Because they have so many different timelines and different characters going on at the minute that it can be a bit messy. But just go in. Don't really. This
sit
isn't
back,
one of those,
enjoy the ride.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not connected really to anything else either.
Okay.
So.
Black Adam in cinemas now. Zara, Louis Theroux is back on our screens this week, Tuesday at 9:15 on BBC Two.
He is, yeah. He's back with a new series called Louis Theroux Interviews, and it's 6 parts. Episode one has an interview with platinum-selling UK rapper and grime artist Stormzy, who also, of course, headlined Glastonbury in 2019 and just got rave reviews from his performance. He's a very enigmatic character, and I think people people really, really gravitate to him, and he's very interesting. And what's great about this series is it kind of goes back to the When Louis Met format, where he hangs out with a celebrity and he gets all access to their life and their work life as well, which is really interesting. He's got some great guests on this. There's Jame Judy Dench, Rita Ora, Catherine Ryan, Bear Grylls and Young Blood. So a good mixture as well, yeah, of like people that he's talking to. And I think he's got such a great kind of interview style where he really gets people to open up. People seem to get very comfortable with him.
Yeah, did you hear the thing he did over lockdown? Those kind of interviews he did yeah, over Zoom. And again, like, yeah, unpromising kind of people sometimes, but he's just, he puts a whole new light
exactly,
on people,
yeah,
doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah, really, yeah, good.
Okay, so that's Louis Theroux interviews, and it's BBC Two Tuesday, 9:15 p.m. Rory, The Peripheral on Amazon. So I think new episodes of this each Friday. This sounds fantastic.
Yeah, so the first two episodes now have dropped on Prime Video, and then the rest will be coming every Friday after that. So this is replacing the slot that was the Lord of the Rings show on Prime Video. So thank, I guess, God, they're hoping, yeah, this will be picking up from the audience that was on from that. It's from the creators of Westworld. It's from the writer William Gibson, who's just one of the greatest sci-fi writers around.
Yeah, yeah.
The two leads are Chloe Grace Moretz and our own Jack Rayner. They're brother and sister from a southern state in America, and they're video game testers. And a brand new game that they're testing, it's a virtual reality game, but it turns out it is actually allowing them to control avatars in the actual future, that, and their actions will affect essentially the future of the world as we know it. It's a very high concept, big sci-fi idea, and it is so expensive. It is beautiful to look at. You have to kind of pay attention to it. This isn't something you can kind of dip in and out on your phone while you're, oh, something's exploding and then I'll check out again.
Yeah.
It does require attention. It does require a little bit of an IQ, but the performances are great. I think it could be great, but the first episode alone is 74 minutes. The second episode is over an hour. It's a bit fatty at the minute. I think it could be trimmed down a little bit as the seasons go on. But it does, if you're looking for something that isn't quite as overthought and overwrought as Westworld was, okay, this could be the one for you.
And it's quality rather than trashy. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's got high quality on it.
The Peripheral on Prime Video and new episodes on Friday. Zara, really quickly, Candy on Disney Plus. This is another true crime kind of thing.
It is, yeah. It's another true crime. I, again, had no knowledge of this story beforehand. So we're back in the suburbs, and Jessica Biel plays Candy Montgomery, who was accused in 1980 of murdering her next door neighbour, Betty Gore. A very unfortunate surname for the end that she meets as well. So Candy is kind of the pillar of this very small community in Wiley, Texas. They're all very close-knit. They socialise together. Everyone knows each other. And it's five episodes, and they're between kind of 54 minutes to an hour long. And they are quite slow-paced, but they are very interesting in the story. The story is fascinating. Jessica Biel as well. I was interested to watch this because I actually couldn't remember the last thing I saw her in. I went through her filmography today, and actually the last thing I saw her in was Seventh Heaven. So I have a lot of Jessica Biel rewatching to do.
Yeah.
But she's fantastic in this, as is Melanie Lynskey, who plays Betty Gore, who is the victim in this. Other roles are Justin Timberlake's in it. I usually don't like him and stuff, but he's very good in it.
Okay.
Four episodes are very good. It's actually not as gory as you think until episode five, which made me feel extremely ill. So don't watch while having dinner.
Okay, it's funny though that you both kind of alluded to that an hour is maybe too long for TV these days. It used to be kind of an hour was what we watched, but there you go, yeah. Rory, to finish up, The Sound of 007. This is on Amazon Prime as well. Is this what it says it is, yeah?
It's exactly that, yeah. It's a less than 90 minute long documentary on the history of the music and the songs of James Bond. So they've got interviews with Billie Eilish and Hans Zimmer and David Arnold and Daniel Craig and Michael Caine. And then we've got Talking Heads with Tina Turner and Paul McCartney and pretty much everyone who's ever contributed to a Bond song.
So people who like these kind of things.
If you like Bond songs, this is absolutely... The only problem is it's actually too short. This could have been a 4 or 5 episode multi-part documentary. There's so much to go through.
They were busy making overly long sci-fi gaming things, obviously.
Unfortunately,
okay.
Yeah.
So that's The Sound of 007, and that's on Prime, and it's up there now, yeah?
It is indeed.
Okay. Rory Cashin and Zara Hederman, thank you very much. And that's all we've time for today.